Hey kids, and welcome to Knotcast episode 282. I'm doing a bit of a solo show today because, well, on Thursday, when we were going to record last time, Fuzz was sick. He's been dealing with a cold, and Shiva, unfortunately, has had one of her cats die, so she's not in a good place. To be completely honest, we haven't been getting a lot of emails right lately, so, you know, it's a thing. But we do want to let you know that, you know, it's not like, oh, the show's not over or anything. It's just the next couple weeks are going to be pretty slight in terms of content from us. This coming Thursday, we won't be able to record because I will be in Seattle for Everfree Northwest. I'll be up there recording some content for YouTube and whatnot, and should have some good tales. I mean, it's been a while since I've been up to Seattle. Since I was last there in 2012, if I recall correctly. So, it'll be cool to be back up that area. For those of you listening, though, if you've been to a furry con, and there have been many in the last few weeks, go ahead and send us a con report. Let us know what some of these newer cons are like. I think Fuzz noted that last weekend there were no less than 5 furry conventions going on at the same time. And that's not even including at least one brony convention and probably a lot of other things. So, if you went to one of these, let us know how it was. As a bonus, now, if you have an Audible account, you know, I've been doing stories for, I've been doing the Out of Position series, and I have finished the principal recording for Uncovered. I have to send the files for edits and whatnot, and that'll take a little bit of time, but it's good to know that I've done the initial story. It's about 13 hours, 5 minutes long. Plenty long for a good road trip or two. Also, Summerhill, the book by Rikoshi that I recorded prior to working on Uncovered, is now available on Audible.com under the auspices of Fur Planet. So, if you have Audible credits and you're waiting for Uncovered, well, if you still have a credit, because it's not going to be out until at least next month or perhaps later, use your credit there. Get yourself an audiobook, another narrated by me. I will also be appending the short preview to the end of this, so you can actually hear the first, well, technically second chapter, to get a little bit of the idea of the story. It's pretty interesting. I enjoyed reading it. For those of y'all that are Patreon folks, thank you very much. We continue to get support via that. And we appreciate it because, well, AdamandEve.com basically stopped bringing us any money in. They changed our deal around, and, you know, every little bit helps. We're on Patreon at patreon.com/knotcast, and a buck an episode, $4 a month, that's not a lot. But it'll go a long way to help make this show easier on Fuzz's bandwidth, at least. So, you can keep on emailing us at knotcast@foxservice.com. You can go to our Tumblr, knotcast.tumblr.com, and send us questions anonymously if you want. You can follow us on Twitter at knotcast. Big surprise, right? And we do use FA occasionally. We use it a lot less than we probably should, but what can you do? That's pretty much all I've got for you right now. This is certainly not going to be going up on Patreon as a charged episode or anything like that, because that would be terrible. But, thanks for listening, and hopefully you'll enjoy the short story snippet that I'm going to be appending just about now.
Chapter 1. Oblivion. Summerhill lived in the world of the pale gray sky. The world of the pale gray sky was a quiet place, mainly because Summerhill was the only person who lived there. This didn't strike him as weird, though, not until he started coming up with questions. But the dog lived there for quite some time before he got around to that. In the world of the pale gray sky, there were no storms, and there was no rain. The sky was simply always gray, the same dull, uniform color in all directions. The gray did not come from clouds. The gray simply was. Sometimes there were clouds, or what looked like they might have been clouds, but Summerhill never paid those much heed. There was no sun, either. There was no night and no day. No way to demarcate the passage of time, and so Summerhill never bothered to do so. The backdrop of that sky was broken only by tall, angular buildings that stabbed upwards, spearing the faintly swirled gray in all directions, as far as the eye could see. Many of the buildings were a drab green. Others were steel blue or slate blue. More rarely were they hues of yellow or red. Some had windows, some did not. Nobody lived in those innumerable buildings, though. Nobody ever went into them, and nobody ever came out. Nobody wandered the endless streets between them. Nobody except for the lone dog named Summerhill. The whole world was one unending city, all for him. Summerhill himself was far more colorful than anything else in his world. The rich hues of his fur stood out against the backdrop wherever he went. Even the clothes he wore all had the same washed-out, drab look to them, as if the world itself refused to allow too much color into it. But try as it might, it couldn't leach the color out of him. One thing the dog had noticed from time to time, when passing mirrors and windows, was that the gray of his eyes matched the gray of the sky exactly. He'd forget this on occasion, and whenever reminded of it, he would ponder the similarity only briefly before dismissing it as coincidence. Summerhill could also make the plants grow. He would do this on occasion, in order to add a tiny splash of color to the world around him. Flowers would sprout from the grayish-green grass of the city's deserted parks, or blossom on trees, or grow up between the cracks in the pavement whenever he willed them to. These flowers didn't thrive in his world of no sunlight, though, and they always eventually faded and turned the same pale gray as the sky, the same pale gray as his eyes. Plants didn't make for particularly good company besides, and the lack of anyone to provide friendship or companionship had come to wear at him more and more as time continued to drift by. Eventually, it dawned on Summerhill that it was a little silly that he'd have a place like this all to himself. He could have all the time in the world, and near as he could tell, he did, and even then he'd still never get to see it all. So what was the point of it? For as long as he could remember, he was the only person who had ever lived in the world of the pale gray sky. It seemed obvious that other people must have lived there at some point, though since there were all those towering buildings that stuck up into the sky in all directions, then someone must have built those, right? The question was largely academic, but before Summerhill could spend much time pondering its ramifications, the blue light appeared. By itself, the blue light might have not been remarkable, except for the fact that it marked, for the first time in Summerhill's memory, the one time anything had happened in the world of the pale gray sky. That in and of itself was far more interesting than any academic or theoretical quandary. To the unaided eye, it was merely a beam of blue light that had streaked across the sky. Summerhill had never seen a shade of blue so bright, so intense, so different. He would have thought it was a shooting star, except that it wasn't dark out, and moreover, neither stars nor darkness actually existed. He contemplated the streak of light as he leaned against the wall of a tobacconist shop that had no actual tobacconist to run it. His eyes peered out at the dull sky for what had to have been several minutes. But what were minutes? What was this concept of time he insisted on believing in? "This world doesn't make any sense," he heard himself say. "You know that, don't you?" With a sigh, he pushed off the wall, started walking, and tried to think of how to answer that. It was an interesting point he'd raised to himself. There were several other things about the world that didn't make sense. But did everything have to make sense? Sitting down on a bench at a bus stop where no bus ever came, Summerhill scratched his head and took some more time to think. Now that he'd been prompted to question reality, he might as well put in the effort to do a thorough job of it.